Is now being recorded.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. Welcome, everyone, to this council call on the 16th of February. And let's start with just a request for people to join a little bit early if they can, because we would lose a bit of time while we're waiting for quorum to be reached. So if people can try and join a couple of minutes early, that'd be useful. So with that being said, I will ask Glenn to do a roll call, please, to start us off.
Thank you, Stefan. Jeff Newman?
Present.
Ching Chow?
Present.
Jonathan Robinson is absent and has given his proxy to Jeff Newman. Mason Cole is absent and has given his proxy to Stefan van Gelder. Stefan van Gelder?
Yes.
Joef Kieran? Joef is not yet on. Thomas Rickert?
Present.
Zay Jamil?
Present.
John Berard?
I'm here.
David Taylor?
Yeah.
Brian Winterfeld?
Present.
Oswaldo Nova?
Present.
Wolf Ulrich Knoben?
Present.
Bill Drake is absent, and he has an alternate, Konstantinos Koumatis, who's on the call. Konstantinos is being dialed out to, but he is on the Adobe Connect. Wendy Salsa?
Here.
Mary Wong? Rafik Damak?
Yes, here.
Joy Lidicote is absent, and she has given her proxy to Mary Wong, who's not yet on the call. Wolfgang Kleinbachter is not yet on the call. Lanre Ajayi?
Present.
Carlos Aguirre?
Present, here.
Alan Greenberg?
Here.
Han-Chan Lee is absent. And for staff, we have Liz Gaster, David Olive, Margie Malam, Marika Koenig, Julie Headland, Barry Cobb, Brian Peck, and from the IT staff we have Alexander Kulik, and have I missed anyone, and myself, Glenda Saint-Cherie. And may I ask you all to say your name before speaking for the transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and Konstantinos is now connected. Thank you, Stefan. Over to you.
Thanks. Do you want me to say my name before every sentence, Glenn, or before every time I...
That's all right. The transcribers know you.
Right. Thanks. So, can I ask if there are any updates to statement of interest at this time? Seeing or hearing none, can I ask if there are any requests to review or amend the agenda for today?
One question.
And who are you, Wendy?
Thank you, Stefan. Wendy Seltzer. I think the consent agenda is a helpful item. I wonder whether it could be accompanied by a bit of explanation of where the items have come from when it's been being put to the list.
Yep.
A bit more context.
Okay, I was going to come to the consent agenda, which is a new idea we're starting for this meeting. So let me pick your question up there. Let's just run through the rest of item one. Is that okay with you?
Thank you. Yes.
Thank you.
Thanks. And Glenn, just I'm sure you've seen this, but Ching is asking on the chat, do we have admin that we plan to include in our discussions on items 5, the JIG letter for the board, and apparently Edmund has a problem to dial in, so if we can dial out to him.
Yes, we've got him on our list, and he's asked to be dialed out to just before the agenda item.
Great, thank you very much. Any further requests to review or amend the agenda, please? Hearing or seeing none, I will just bring your attention to the minutes of the previous meeting that have been approved as per our procedures, and to a new item that is a regular item on our agenda item one, which is the GNSO pending project list that we used to have as item two. We started introducing this as a regular item last year to ensure that we had our attention focused on our pending projects at each of our meetings. It's been successful, I think. However, with the consent agenda coming in as a new idea, the thinking was that we could just include the pending project as a regular informational item under the admin part, and if anyone has any questions or comments there, those can be made under that sub-item, but we felt there was no further reason to have me draw out the list of differences between the pending project list that we saw at the last meeting and the one that we're looking at the current meeting. So that's the thinking behind that. And with that, any comments or questions on the list that is the one that you can access from the GNSO website under GNSO project status list, the second link on the column to the left. Hearing no questions, I'll move on to item two. And as Wendy mentioned earlier on, this is... I'm hearing a voice in the background. Someone trying to speak?
Yes. It's Margie. I have a hand up about the projects list.
You do have a hand up, Margie. Sorry, I missed you.
That's all right. I just wanted to give the council a brief update on the issue report, the final issue report for the RAA amendments. The public comment period closed on the 13th. We summarized it, and we're in the process of producing the final issue report, which we expect to provide to the council next week. So I just wanted to let you know the status of that, given that the rules talk about having it being published 30 days after the closing of the public comment forum.
Thank you, Margie. Anything further on the PP list? Okay, so the consent agenda idea came out of the need that we saw to have the recommendations report for the IRTP Part B Recommendation 9 Part 2 work approved in terms of sending it to the board. This is something that we looked at in the discussion that came out of that. The idea was put forward that there may be things on our agenda that are just part of the consent agenda and would be a good idea in terms of just getting council approval, but not necessarily going through a whole motion process. So just as the board has a consent agenda, we felt it might be a good idea to introduce one to the council. This, therefore, is the first time that we have tried this. We will see how we go with it. I'm very hopeful that it will add both clarity and simplicity to our proceedings. So I'm optimistic that... not only is this a good idea, but it's one that's going to prove worthwhile to us. And Wendy, your point about each item having an extra bit of context added in, I will make a note of that. I will ask for your patience in getting this set up. Adding the context in as part of the drafting of the general meeting agenda is not always easy, so I'll take that, I'll make a note of it and see how best we can address that going forward. We also want to hear from the council as to whether the consent agenda in general is something that works or not. Wendy, I see you have your hand up.
Thanks, Stefan. Wendy Seltzer. The context I'm suggesting could be a simple hyperlink, so approval of the proposal. What is the proposal? Approval of new calls for volunteers. Where are those new calls for volunteers? With that, I think it would be a very helpful streamlining of Council's procedure to be able to review those materials on our own time and agree to them.
Thanks, Wendy. Duly noted, and I think makes perfect sense. So let's move on to the first item on this consent agenda, which is the one that I've just discussed. And the idea here is just that we, as a council, approve sending this report to the board. Now, the proposal that I have, and I had put this to the list and there was no disagreement voiced on the list, is that we do a simple show of hands, a vote on whether we approve or not, and that we use a simple threshold of majority of in each house is approval. This, does anyone have any... let's give another opportunity for people to comment on that procedure before we start using it. Is everyone comfortable with us doing it in that way?
Stefan?
Okay. Yes, sorry, Wolf.
Yes, Wolf Norton speaking. Stefan, if I understood correctly, so you are proposing that the council should think about a procedure for this consent agenda, how to deal with it in the context of a voting, because there may be that we have to vote, we have to approve. It's asked for approval, so that means there is a voting is needed. And is there any idea about that? Should that be different from the kind of voting we have in our procedures right now, or? Just the voting according as we are doing these motions. Also, though, I don't see any difference, you know, in that. Rather than there's no motion, but there is a vote is requested, and we should proceed as we do normally in our procedures.
What I'm suggesting, Wolf, and this is an idea that I've put to the council, is that we approve or consent, show our consent on specific items that are not that do not require a motion. And I'm proposing that we show that consent by a simple vote, because I don't see any other way of doing it. So in this instance, yes, I am suggesting that we do something that we haven't done before, which is to have a simple vote. For example, if we are all in agreement, and I will call for Glenn to take a vote on whether we approve sending this report to the board, and if we have a majority and if both houses are show majority approval of doing so, then that is approved. If this doesn't happen, then that is simply rejected and then can go back into the main agenda for the next meeting. And also, if anyone objects to any consent agenda item being on the consent agenda, then that automatically puts the item back onto the main agenda for the next meeting if someone wants to put it there. So what I'm suggesting is that the consent agenda content is for simple admin matters that we need to handle quickly, that we don't want to go through a motion process for, and that there be opportunity every step of the way for people who do not wish an item to be approved in that way to make that heard. Is that clearer for you?
Yes, thank you. Thanks.
So I have a suggestion from Wendy on the chat, which I find interesting. Wendy, can you make it out loud?
Sure. Thanks, Stefan. We could make this even speedier, I think, by saying that if it's not objected to, it's approved without a vote. And if anyone wants further discussion or wants to object, they can move it to the main agenda. So I would suggest...
I like it.
Skip the vote.
I like it, and it's a simple thing for me to manage. If the council is okay with doing it that way, what it would mean is that at every sub-item, I would call for any objection. If there is none, I would call for any objection to the item being on the consent agenda. If there isn't, I would call for any objection to the item itself, and if there isn't, it's approved. So it's a simple three-step process. Any objection to this?
Mm-hmm.
Let's try it then. Does anyone object to us to the approval of the recommendations report being on the consent agenda? Does anyone object to us asking staff to send this report to the board? That is approved. Marika.
Yeah, this is Marika. If I can just make a general point about the recommendations report, because it's the first time, as we're now in a new PDP, that we've prepared this recommendations report, and it would be helpful to know if councils feel that the relevant information and the different parts are in there, because I think we will try to develop this as a template so that for future references, the same kind of format is used when these reports are being developed. So if you have any suggestions or any ideas on how to add further information or make it more readable, please feel free to suggest that.
Thank you. Liz, can I call on you just to explain why we are proposing that work on the Who Is Access be officially ended at this time? I can read through it, but if you'd rather.
I'd be happy to. This is held over from the Registration of Use Policies Working Group. It was a suggestion from that group that the issue of who is accessibility be included in the survey that the Who Is Service Requirements Survey Working Group has been tasked to develop. And that resolution back in October of last year stated that if the working group, the Who Is Survey Working Group, felt that it was not appropriate or timely to include Who Is Access as part of the survey, that they should let the GNSF Council know. So you may recall that several weeks ago, the working group did report back to the council that it felt that it was not appropriate to include that element in this inventory, this survey, which is focusing on technical requirements. So they don't feel it falls into the remit of its current charter and recommended that it not be included in the upcoming survey. So we have, an open element here. And since they don't think it should be in the survey and there's no other plan right now to follow up with it in any other way, the suggestion is that it just that the effort be terminated or the concern about it be officially terminated.
Thanks, Liz. So... may I ask if anyone objects to this being on the consent agenda? Wolf?
Thank you, Stefan. Wolf speaking. We had a discussion about that in our constituency, and we felt that this is not a good way to do so. So because we were very interested to include it in that survey. However, we understand, okay, that there is a lot of things to be done, and maybe this time it's not feasible to include it. However, we shouldn't not go this way, just to let me say then to terminate that that proposal, and before we have an alternative proposal, how to deal with that in future. And I understood right now, Liz, there is no at the time being. So I wonder myself how we should deal with it. We wouldn't like to terminate that at the time being.
So you are requesting for this not to be on the consent agenda?
Yes.
Or you are not in approval of the recommendation itself?
I'm not in approval of the consent agenda here, in this respect. So because I wouldn't like to have a situation that this point, the question of whose access is then from the council's agenda. You know,
It sounds to me like you're actually opposing the fact that we end the work, which is basically the same thing anyway. So we will take that off the consent agenda and perhaps ask... that's fine, but we do need to find some way forwards on this, and perhaps your constituency can help in that process.
Okay, we will discuss and together with staff as well to find out ways how we can deal with it in future.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks.
So, third item is a request to terminate the Open Council drafting team. This drafting team has been dormant, or appears to have been dormant, and we wanted to put it on the agenda because no one on the leadership team felt that the drafting team was doing any more work. So is that a fair assessment? Is there any objection to this being on the consent agenda? Hearing none, is there any objection to us terminating this drafting team? Thank you. That is approved. Last item on the consent agenda is a call to... the approval of new calls for volunteers to the JIG. There are, I believe, because I'm speaking from memory now, five existing reps to... Yes, I've got it. I've found it here. So there are five GNSO reps to the JIG, and there are two observers. Those five reps are Edmund, Terry Davis, myself, Rafiq, and Karen Ann Hain. She has resigned, I believe, and there are two observers, Avery and Chuck. So I believe that Avery and Chuck are probably on as observers because they were previous chairs of the council. I should certainly only be on as an observer because I'm... on every group as chair of the council, but do not wish to be specifically added as a GNSO rep for the JIG. And so that leaves a few holes, and Edmund asked if we could put out a new call for volunteers. So that's why this is being proposed. Is there any opposition to this being on the consent agenda? Hearing none, is there any opposition to us sending out a new call for volunteers? Thank you. That is approved. And good. So we finished the consent agenda. Please, if anyone has any further comments, tell us what you think. Make them on the list. I think this is very useful, and I'm hoping that... we can continue to do this as and when needed. Any further comments?
Stefan, this is Glenn. Edmund is on the call now.
Thank you, Edmund. Welcome.
Thank you.
So, So, Edmund, I don't know if you're on the call. We've just finished approving the fact that the council will send out a new call for volunteers for the jig, and I just described why that was needed. So we'll now move on to item three and the FIC Who Is final issue report, and I will let Marika present this item to us before we look at the motion that's been made here. Marika, please.
Thanks, Stefan. This is Marika. So I've prepared a couple of slides on the final issue report. Just as a little bit of background, this was a recommendation that came from the IRTP Part B working group that recommended that the council should request an issue report on this topic, and that was done so in September. The recommendation made very clear that it should that the issue report should consider both positive and or negative effects that are likely to occur that would need to be taken into account when deciding whether a requirement of FIC Who Is for all GTLDs would be desirable or not. And we published a preliminary issue report for public comment on the 21st of November. As part of the public comment forum, nine contributions were received. In general, the comments could be divided into four different categories. There were a number of comments that provided further information on what should be included or amplified as part of the issue report. There were views expressed on pros and cons of SIN or FIC Who Is model. There were various opinions on whether a PDP should or shouldn't be initiated. And there also were a number of comments in relation to the actual scope of the PDP should one be initiated. And in the final issue report, you'll find as well at the end the complete summary of the public comments included. But the changes in the report itself stem more from item one and four, as those specifically related to the content of the issue report itself. And so the final issue report was submitted to you on the 2nd of February. The report is divided in separate, in different sections. There's a section that talks about or explains the differences between the FIC and the SIN model, that provides an overview of the current situation of existing GTLDs and also focuses on the situation for or requirements for new GTLDs. The issue report then also provides an initial list of issues that, from our perspective, should be considered to determine possible negative or positive consequences of requiring FIC Who Is, should a PDP be initiated. And these include, for example, consistent response, enhanced stability, enhanced accessibility, cost implications, privacy and data protection, and data escrow, impact on impact on existing Who Is requirements. The report then also highlights a number of other issues that should be considered should a PDP go forward, such as the scope of the PDP. For example, one of the comments that was made as part of the public comment forum was like, if this PDP would go forward and would look at a requirement for FIC Who Is, could a possible outcome also be a requirement for SIN Who Is, or is it only limited to looking at requiring FIC Who Is? There were some other questions related to scope, making sure that, if a PDP would go ahead, that it shouldn't encroach on the overall Who Is debate or bring that into this discussion, because there are other initiatives going on in that regard. And it also highlights, the resource issue. There are many PDPs going on and staff resources, so other items to consider. But the staff recognition itself, based on the input as well from the General Counsel's office, note that, we consider the proposed issues within scope of ICANN policy and the GNSO, and therefore we believe it's reasonable to expect that further investigation of FIC Who Is for all GTLDs would be beneficial to the community generally, as it will allow for an informed decision by the GNSO Council as to whether or not to require FIC Who Is for all GTLDs, and we therefore recommend that the GNSO Council proceed with the PDP. And that's in a nutshell the final issue report.
Thanks, Marika. I see there are questions. Jeff is first.
Sorry, it's not a question. It's more a comment on the PDP. So the first thing I want to emphasize, and then VeriSign has asked me to make this statement on their behalf, that they would be supportive of a PDP if that's what the GNSO Council and the community desire. That said, the registry stakeholder group still hasn't, as a whole, changed its view on basically conducting a full PDP on what one registry operator, albeit supporting a couple different strings, but one registry operator is doing, and we do not think it that PDP should be directed at the activities of one registry. So for that reason, the registry stakeholder group is going to abstain on the motion. But again, that said, VeriSign wants to make it very clear that they are in favor of a PDP if that's what the community wants.
Thank you, Jeff. Wendy.
Thank you. My comment is primarily around the resource issues, as Marika mentioned. We have a lot on our plate, and in follow-up with the concern Jeff raised, that this is a very narrowly focused PDP in one sense, that it applies only to the VeriSign single registry's operations, and yet is a broadly scoped issue in that a full discussion of the implications of thick whois would take a significant discussion among the community. I think that this isn't a good use of council resources. That said, we're interested in hearing more about the registry stakeholder groups' concerns, and think that that might be a good reason to defer this to face-to-face discussion in Costa Rica.
Stefan, this is Ida. I'm not on Adobe, so if I could get in the queue.
Yes. Well, let's have you next, Aid.
Oh, thank you. Just wanted to say that we discussed this in the BC, and our concern with respect to this motion is that there are other things that are happening out in the community as well. There are currently certain, shall we say, negotiations of the RAA taking place. And the last thing we wanted to do was to, in some way, stop any work that may be happening there in the RAA motion, et cetera, and also the contracts that have been negotiated with respect to who take who is, because we're going to initiate a PDP. So as far as the BC is concerned, unless there's some clarifying language, which may not, we'll see what that could be, but we're not in support of a PDP at this stage with respect to thick whois, because it may interrupt and interfere with other things going on, and that's the point we wanted to make. I probably would want to say more after a few people have spoken. Thanks.
Thanks, Zaid. David.
Thanks, Stefan. That's good, Zaid. Just prep that comment I sent round on the council list not a little bit before the call, so must be maybe not everyone's read it, but you said you weren't clear on it, and that was pretty much that point. Is what I'm meaning is certainly the IPC fully supports the recommendations of the issue report, but that issue there that there are other means than a PDP with which the GTLD register is not just VeriSign. We've got the ComNet and jobs can be brought into the should we say GTLD mainstream by migrating to thick whois. So you know, in essence, if a PDP is initiated on the topic, our view is that it's got to be launched explicitly without prejudice, which is my point there, without prejudice to ICANN pursuing whatever other routes are available to it on this goal, so that it might be exercising its capability under the existing registry contracts, or maybe the requiring renegotiation of the registry agreements at whatever time we're doing that. So hence putting in that friendly, if that works for you, that nothing in the motion is intended to prejudice migration to thick whois through contractual means, then we'd support it and I'd second it.
Well, the reason I responded on the list, I didn't understand your comment, is that, and I still don't understand it from what you've just said, is
okay.
That there is a PDP process that exists that we know, that we understand, and what I am understanding your comment to be, and this is probably wrong, which is why I raised the question, I am understanding that you want reassurance that if a PDP goes ahead, any decisions it takes do not preclude ICANN from having direct contractual negotiations with a registry on the issue of thick whois. Am I getting that right, or am I getting that wrong?
Essentially, that's it. If a PDP gets underway and then for some reason ICANN doesn't press for certain things which it might be pressing for and is discussing at the moment, then we end up delaying the whole thing. So it's just that those things should be able to continue. Otherwise, PDP, again, it could be 2014, 2015 when the PDP concludes.
In that case, I would venture that this is already built into the ICANN process, and that the ICANN process includes the possibility of a policy development process, but on contractual issues with ICANN contracted parties, ICANN and the contracted parties involved can have direct negotiations, which is also why I didn't understand the link that was being made between this motion by the BC, between this motion and the RIA negotiations. So I'm not saying no or I won't accept any of it. I'm genuinely not clear on why this issue is coming up as an issue to both the IPC and the BT. Do you see what I mean?
I think so. I mean, I think we're just seeking clarification there, so it is very clear put that no one turns around and says there's a PDP going on, so we're downing tools because of the PDP. We want that just to be specific in there, but it's without prejudice to any migration through contractual means, which is ongoing. So this goes in parallel. It doesn't affect it, and it's just very clear that it doesn't.
Okay, well, let's work through the queue. Can I ask you to send that wording to Marika, or Marika's already typing it in, I think. And while that is being made clear, let's work through the rest of the queue, and we have Alan next.
Yeah, thank you. It's Alan Greenberg. I have some concern about resources as well, although for a different reason than Wendy. Given that we seem to have now opened up the possibility that this is not just a PDP on requiring thick whois from those registries that don't support it, but the possibility of looking at it and saying maybe we should require thin whois, or there's also a suggestion in the report that we look at other models altogether, that I feel that we're opening up this to being a PDP on who is in the general case, that there are so many possible outcomes from it that there will be people who will be pushing for those outcomes. And we have taken what might have been a relatively simple PDP and made it into one which is going to be complex, it's going to be long, and increase the chances that nothing useful comes out of it. So I strongly support, and ALAC strongly supports, a PDP on thick who is for registries that do not currently support it. Yes or no, look at the positives, look at the negatives, but not open it up to a wide range of other possibilities, which almost surely will doom it to failure, and certainly to a huge amount of resources put into it over the next many years. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. I'd say that's not what's been proposed. The motion proposes what the final issue report proposes, and I don't think it goes beyond that.
Well, the final issue report includes a lot of possibilities, including, as Marika highlighted, the possibility that thin whois could be recommended out of it, and the possibility that we look at other models altogether other than thick and thin. So
I'd
be delighted if the charter doesn't allow all of that, but I
take your point. My understanding, I mean, the way Marika put it earlier on may have been confusing, but I did not understand the final report to be proposing that. Marika, do you want to correct me or agree with me, whatever?
Yes, isn't Marika, exactly. The question was raised whether it should include, but indeed the motion is currently just on thick who is. It might be a discussion as part of the charter, how narrowly defined that is or how broadly defined, but it's just issues that are raised in the charter that are in the issue report that might be considered as part of the chartering process, how that should be defined. But it's not suggesting that should be a part of.
No. Stefan and Alan, in clarification, I wasn't saying that they were recommending that is, but they were allowing such things. So that was my concern, not of the PDP, but of what the charter would allow.
Thanks very much, Alan. Jeff?
Yeah, it sounds like, and again, separate from the registry position, but just my own
thoughts here. There is a lot going on with WHOIS, a lot of studies that are going on. The WHOIS Review Team report, which I believe makes reference to the WHOIS, to the thick WHOIS. There's contracts that come up this year with certain of the registries that do not have thick WHOIS that are in process of negotiation, I'm sure, or will be, you know, at least or has to be by the end of the year. Why don't we just defer this topic for a year, see where we end up? Therefore, you don't have to worry about contract negotiations that are going on. That will already have passed. You won't have to worry about the precedent the PDP sets. And frankly, there's just so much work going on right now in the council and in the community that I think this is a distraction.
What is your suggestion? What is your suggestion about can I just finish? Are you suggesting that I withdraw the motion for a year?
I'm suggesting we do something similar to what we did with the UDRP, which is, essentially delay a PDP for a year, pending the outcome of what happens this year with negotiations with and with the WHOIS review team and everything else going on with WHOIS. So, I would either request a withdrawal of the motion or just put in the motion that we'll wait a year to bring it up.
I would much rather you propose that second solution as a friendly amendment that could go in the first resolve clause. I'm not happy with withdrawing the motion because that feels to me like a cop-out, but I'm happy to see a proposed friendly amendment from you on doing this and see where we go with that. Can you just put some words together and send it to Marita while there's still a lot of people in the queue, so you probably have time?
Sorry, I'll try.
Thanks. Yoav.
Yes, first I just wanted to apologize for being late, and I just wanted to make sure that everyone knows that I've seconded the motion, so we can vote on it.
Thank you, Yoav. Wendy.
Thank you. I think that NCSG would prefer to see this motion discussed in the face-to-face at San Jose, so we would propose to defer consideration of this to the next meeting.
Okay. Motion is deferred. We can still continue with the queue, though. No, David's put his hand down. So there's no one else in the queue. The motion has been deferred. David is back in the queue. Go on, David.
Oh, sorry, Steph. I was just going to say, I think there's a certain sensibility in what Wendy said there, because by the 14th of March, we'll know anyway what the RIA position is. So, I mean, that does actually make it sensible perhaps to defer it by a little bit. I'm not sure about whether a whole year, but that seems sensible to me.
Okay.
Can I get an explanation as to, I still don't understand how the RAA discussions affect this at all, because the RAA discussions are with the registrars who are by definition required to have thick WHOIS essentially on their websites unless there's some privacy law that would prohibit it. Really, thick WHOIS is talking about the registry level, and so can you guys help me understand what the relationship is there?
Yeah, that's the point I was making earlier on. I don't understand it either. But I
I thought it was the WHOIS verification in the RAA, but it's just because we don't know what's coming out of that, it's intriguing to see. So, I mean, once we see what's coming out, you may well be absolutely right. So then that makes complete sense.
I mean, the point that the BC made to me was that they felt, They had a worry, and I'm paraphrasing from memory, so Zahid or John, please come in and step in and correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding is that you felt that there was some possible effect of this motion on the RAA, that the RAA negotiations could possibly have an effect on this motion's subject matter, and I did not see why. I think Jess just explained that he has the same questions, so I don't know.
Hi,
if you guys
Stefan, this is I. Can I go ahead and...
Please do. Yeah, go ahead.
Right. Thank you. I mean, first of all, there is various moving parts with the who is, generally speaking, so that stands as it is. Secondly, it's our understanding that there is a possibility that registrars will not share the who is data with the TIC who is or a central database, and this could only be enforced if their new consensus policy requiring that data sharing is adopted, and that can only take place with a PDP. That's one of the things that we were discussing, and so from that perspective, if it requires a consensus policy and a PDP has to do it, then in the meantime, while a RA contract is being negotiated, we don't want that to be prejudiced.
Okay. Marisa.
Yeah, this is Marika. I'm just actually looking for clarification from David whether his amendment, which I've now added as a resolve clause, is intended to be a resolve clause or a whereas clause.
Probably a whereas, I think.
Okay, well, I'll do that.
Can we take that? I mean, that's a good point. The amendment shouldn't be in the motion. I haven't accepted it as friendly. And we have time now to discuss both David and Jeff proposed friendly amendment, so let's take that time and work through it. Wendy?
Sounds good. I'll leave it in brackets so we don't forget it.
yeah, thanks. Wendy's put her hand down, so it looks like we've come to the end of this discussion, and we'll move on to IRTPB recommendation 8, and we have a motion here that's been made by Yoav. This motion is the result of discussions that we've had in previous meetings, and we had a motion that was presented at the 19th of January meeting that was withdrawn. There was a feeling that more time was needed to refine this. So we have a new motion being presented today. It's yet to be seconded, so I will second it. For the record, and I'll ask Yoav to read it to us, please.
Yes, thank you, Stefan. Whereas on 24 June 2009, the GNSO Council launched a policy development process on IRTP Part B addressing the following five charter questions: whether a process for urgent return resolution of a domain name should be developed, as discussed with the ESAC hijacking report, whether additional provisions on undoing inappropriate transfers are needed, especially with regard to disputes between a registrant and admin contact. The policy is clear that the registrant can overrule the admin contact, but how this is implemented is currently at the discretion of the registrar. Whether special provisions are needed for a change of registrant when it occurs near the time of a change of registrar. The policy does not currently deal with change of registrant, which often figures in hijacking cases. Whether standards or best practices should be implemented regarding use of registrar lock status, when it may not, should not be applied. Whether, and if so, how best to clarify denial reason number 7, a domain name was already in lock status, provided that the registrar provides a readily accessible and reasonable means for the registered name holder to remove the lock status. Whereas this PDP has followed the prescribed PDP steps as stated in the bylaws, resulting in final report delivered on May 30, 2011, whereas the IRTP Part B working group has reached full consensus on the recommendations in relation to each of the five issues outlined above, whereas in relation to recommendation number 8, the GNSO Council resolved at its meeting on 22nd of June to request ICANN staff to provide a proposal designed to ensure a technically feasible approach can be developed to meet this recommendation. Staff should take into account the IRTP Part B working group deliberations in relation to this issue. The goal of these changes is to clarify why the lock has been applied and how it can be changed. Upon review of the proposed plan, the GNSO Council will consider whether to approve the recommendation. whereas ICANN staff developed the proposal in consultation with the IRTP Pod B working group, which was put out for public comment that was on November 22nd, whereas no comments were received as part of the public comment forum and the proposal was submitted to the GNSO Council, whereas on 10 January 2012, the IPC has provided its comments to ICANN staff proposal. Whereas ICANN staff has provided an updated proposal based on the IPC comments, whereas the GNSO Council has reviewed and discussed the ICANN staff proposal in relation to IRTP Part B Recommendation Number 8. Resolved, the GNSO Council recommends to the ICANN Board of Directors that it adopts the implemented IRTP Part B Recommendation Number 8 and the related ICANN staff updated proposal as described in the link provided. That's it.
Thanks. Sorry, coming off mute. Thanks very much, Yad. Do we have any questions or comments on the motion, please? Alan?
Yeah, it's not a question on the substance of the motion, but the process. And I'm not criticizing it, but I'd like clarification. At what point did we change the process that we do not recommend something to the board until we have an implementation plan? The new PDP process implies that, as before, the GNSO recommends policy changes, and then an implementation is done. And we seem to have inverted that order in the couple of the IRTP things. And I'm wondering what the background is on that. I'm not sure it's a bad idea, but I'm not quite sure how it came about.
Marika.
This is Marika. To clarify, this is not an implementation plan. This is actually just a more detailed proposal on how the recommendation would look in practice. Because when it comes to implementation, there's some other things that would need to be considered. You know, timelines to be provided for implementation, technical aspects. So this is actually, the working group discussed these recommendations, but didn't feel comfortable in going into the more detailed aspects and therefore requested ICANN staff together with the working group to come up with a proposal, and that's how the sequence emerged.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks to you both. Any further questions? Hearing or seeing none, any opposition to a voice vote on this motion? Len, please do a voice vote.
I do that, Stefan. All those in favour of the motion, please say aye.
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 Is anyone opposed to the motion? Would anyone like to abstain from the motion? Hearing no abstentions and no opposition to the motion passes unanimously, Stefan.
Thank you very much to you all. Thank you, Glenn, for doing that vote. So we'll move on to item 5, and this is an item about the jig, and as you will all recall, I'm sure, this is an initiative that has two sponsoring organizations, us and the CCNSO. A while back, we approved sending some communication to the board on this. The CCNSO have since then said that they had some issues and proposed sending a letter that they had drafted and that I had sent to the council list so that you could have the letter that was being proposed and being put up on the Gobi by Marika right now. So this agenda item is really for us to agree on a way forward. Do we want to send the letter that the CCNSO is proposing as a joint letter, i.e. one that be sent by the GNSO and the CCNSO? Do we not want to do that, in which case the CCNSO is saying they will send their own letter? And if we go down that route, what do we want to do? In order to help better set the scene, I've asked the JIB co-chair, Edmund Chung, to be with us and to update the council on this, and he's kindly agreed. So, Edmund, thanks very much for doing this, and please update us on this.
Thank you, Stefan. And I guess you've just pretty much provided the gist of the situation. I think I'll go straight to the point. I think the original letter was drafted from the working group, and the CCNSO had a look at it. In fact, they responded by saying that in principle they agree with the some of the concerns. They then went on to draft a letter that I would say encapsulated in broad strokes the few issues that we have identified in response to the board action on the single character ID and TLDs issue. And I guess although with a slightly softer tone and perhaps a weaker urgency for a response, but I guess in general it does encapsulate some of the main ideas that we're requesting the group would like to see the board to respond on. So I guess my feeling, especially this being a joint working group, I'd somewhat suggest or recommend the council to consider taking the initiative that the CCNSO council took upon themselves in rewriting the letter and go forward with it as a joint letter. I guess failing that, if we feel that's not the case, we could, as Stefan mentioned, we could consider our options of next our actions. Hello?
Sorry.
Yeah. All right, good.
Thanks, Edmund. So let's open this up for discussion.
Hi, it's Jeff. I think given what we've talked about a lot with cross-constituency working groups and joint groups, to the extent we all agree with the sentiments expressed with the CCNSO, and as Edmund said, it's broadly in line with our views, and certainly maybe a little bit, maybe not as strong as we have had it, and maybe not as with the sense of same urgency, I do think that signing this letter would be a good idea. We can always urge on our own faster timelines with our discussions with the board in Costa Rica or elsewhere, but I think the tack should be that we should sign this.
Thank you, Jeff.
Stefan, this is Zahid.
Zahid.
Yes, please. Should I go ahead?
Yes, please.
Thank you. I just wanted to say that on behalf of the BC, we would support the issuance of this letter, the expansion of GTLDs to IDN users, and TLDs to be able to use a single character IDN, especially if that's the most appropriate for the linguistic community being served. So we would support this. Thank you.
You would support this letter being the joint letter.
The joint letter, yes.
Right? Yes. Thank you.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Joab.
Yeah, I would just wanted to say that I have the same view as Jeff. I think we should, although it's not exactly what we wanted, it's still a very important issue for those communities that this is relevant, and I think we should support and sign this letter.
Thank you. Any further comments? Can I ask if there is any opposition to us co-signing this letter and sending it to the board along with the CCNSO, the joint CCNSO-GNSO letter that is being put forward by the Sushi MSO. I'm hearing no opposition. Sounds like we have approval. I will take the instructions from the council and go ahead and co-sign the letter and get it sent. Thank you very much. We'll now move on to the Costa Rica weekend and the agenda for that weekend that has been worked on by Wolf to a very large extent. Wolf has been putting in a tremendous amount of effort into this. Thank you for doing that, Wolf, and I'll hand it straight to you to present the agenda to us and make us aware of any issues that you have with it.
Yeah, thank you, Stefan. Wolf speaking. So following the discussion we had last council meeting, and I rearranged the agenda in in discussion with the others, with the other presenters as well, and I tried to put it together in a certain logic so that we have some blocks which have a context to each other. And when we go through briefly through it first, the Saturday agenda, so we have the major blocks in the morning, discussion about the IOC and Red Cross names, and this will consume 1 hour, as well as the discussion about registration, accreditation agreement, the status, and the further movements we will have on that. Then on Saturday as well, the Genus outreach discussion. You remember that we had the historical presentation given by Liz last time. And on the basis of this, so we will have a discussion about what should be done in the future with that. And then we have squeezed in the afternoon the work to be presented by the different working teams, which are still on work, IRTP and the cross-community working group, which will be a challenge to discuss what shall be done in the future with that, and other working teams as well in the afternoon of Saturday. On Sunday, we have a shortened introduction of the new PDP, which is very useful, I think, so which will be done by Marika. After this, the new PDP has been accepted here by all the institutions in ICANN, and so it is very useful for all of us, I think, so that we will get this presentation to understand what is going on with that. We had a discussion about new GDLDs. There were different opinions whether at this time a session about new GDLDs is valuable or not. We decided yes, it should be, and especially we had some. I have filed on the following our discussion in the council leadership. The items which we discussed, that IP clearinghouse implementation, EBO implementation, batching, and JAS implementation as well. So I'm still expecting a response and confirmation by Kurt, but I think this will be done as well. Then we had to move a little bit with the board discussion. And we put the board discussion with the board at lunchtime, which is not bad. But in former time, we had the discussion about our potential motions at noon at lunchtime. So because of the constraints the board has, which is its own schedule, so we put this we rearranged this in this part. And as well, there will be the GAC discussion on on Sunday afternoon as well. I'm still, I would appreciate still input for of items to be discussed both with the board and with the GAG, as well as with the CCNSO on Monday. We'll have a lunchtime discussion as well. So these are my requirements and my requests for that. Yes, and we will have on Sunday two review teams to for an exchange and for getting input about their reports and their and exchange views and items with them. The SSR review teams, the stability and review team, and as well the WHO review team at the end of the Sunday session. So I do hope that we will have as many as possible review team members available to that opportunity. And okay, this is about the review team. So I think that's, then there is one meeting with the SSAC, the Advisory Committee on Security and Stability as well, to talk about actual projects they have and exchange views on that and talk about the future cooperation with the SSAC. So, that's it. Yes, that's it. Thank you.
Do I have any questions for Wolf? Mary, you have your hand up. And we will then discuss the agenda for our meetings with the board, YAC, and CCNSO, which was on the agenda and which Wolf has just alluded to. So let's have questions on other topics first.
Thanks, Stefan. Just a real quick question about the Sunday morning 9 a.m. session, introduction to the new PDP. And I should backtrack and thank Wolf for this schedule. It's full and it really covers a lot of the very important things we've been working on. So thank you so much. I know it was a lot of effort. But the question on the 9 a.m. Sunday session was, I guess the question really is not so much do we need this, but at 9 in the morning, the only people who are likely to be there, I guess, would probably be council members. So if this is intended as something for the council primarily, is there something new that we need this session for? If it's something that's meant for the community, is this the best time or use of our time?
Stefan, Wolf speaking. So the intention is, as you can recall, so we had a big change in the council at the last meeting. So many new members on council may be not so familiar with the PDP, with the new PDP, as the older council members like me and you yourself. And so that was one of the reasons, one major reason, to put it on the agenda. So to put all councillors on the same level, so with regard to the PDP. Regarding the public, we did that in the past, when we presented the PDP before we put it on public comment as well. So, I'm happy, to have as many as possible people also from the public available to discuss with them. But I would see, and it's just only half an hour, that it is also, it is mainly for ourselves.
Thanks, Wolf.
Thanks, Wolf. Let me just highlight, and I'll go to you, Marika, what's already been said, but I think it's important to highlight that we are shifting the agenda here slightly from what we've done, what we've tended to do in the recent ICANN meeting weekends that we've had, towards focusing on actual GNSO Council work during the weekend and putting updates and general explanations by drafting teams and working groups towards the Open Council meeting on the Wednesday, while at the same time keeping a very careful eye on making that Open Council meeting as exciting as it can possibly be. So this is all the work that's going on here. There's a lot of thought going into both making our weekends as productive as possible for the council. We felt that in the past we've had a tendency to lose sight of the fact that the reason the GNSO Council comes to the ICANN meetings early is to work out its issues, its the work, that's poor choice of words, to work on its issues, to work on the issues before it, and to actually make some headway there. And so the philosophy behind this agenda that Wolf has presented is very much that. Marika.
Yeah, this is Marika. Just to note as well that that session on the introduction to the new PDP will also be recorded for those that are not able to attend or are not in Costa Rica at that time. We'll definitely make that available for those interested in learning more about the new PDP so that others can benefit from the presentation as well.
Thank you, Marika. And you've also, as you can see on the Adobe, for those of you who are connected, we've added two columns on the spreadsheet that's used for the agenda, and we show one, the first column is the leader column, which is supposed to be the person that will take the leading role in just managing the session, and that's generally the GNSO Council Chair. And the next column is the presenter, the person in charge of delivering the content, as it were. So we felt that was also a useful guide. And as we've done in the previous meetings, there will be a little briefing note with each session so that people know what the session pertains to, why it's important to be there, what the points of discussion are. Any further questions? So let's move on to, and I'll turn back to you, Wolf, for the agenda items for the specific meetings that we have with the board, the GAC, and the CCNSO.
Yes, Stefan, thank you. This is, it is still open, so I think the last time also I mentioned at that point, I would like, before I go back to the refer back to the GAC and to the board, I would like to, let me say, to suggest something from our perspective. So, what items are of most interest here to the GNSO this time to be discussed. So, I know it may vary as well the closer we come to the meeting. And normally we had also in the discussion, the preparation discussion, sometimes points that we put in, and then on short term, then we changed the agenda. But nevertheless, I would like to have some points. Let me just say, we discussed that in the ISPCP and the CSG environment, and so we will have also meetings from the CSG with board and GAC, and on our agenda will be, for example, with the GAC, participation is one point, and who is accuracy is the point we are going to discuss, as well as with the board, the RAA, and the WHOIS items. So the question is whether this is to the entire council of interest also to put on the agenda with the both institutions. Any idea is appreciated. Thank you.
Wolf, did you send the agenda items, the items that we've looked at to the list? I forget.
Well, we had items on the list, but this was have been items with regards to the new GTLD, which are on the agenda with Kurt.
I thought we had some boards, some topics, suggested topics for the discussion with the board.
I missed that, so I'm not aware of that. I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah. So perhaps we've been discussing this within the leadership team and haven't yet put it out to the council. So please, once again, your contributions, requests, known to Wolf, Jeff, or myself, so that we can put together an agenda for these meetings. These are, really, they are crucial meetings. They are meetings where, as we saw in recent times, a lot of things usually happen, and we need to be well prepared for them. So as much preparation as we can do in advance, that really is useful. Jeff?
Yeah, I thought I had submitted three items, and I thought Wolf said, I know you're on the list, the three items that I had suggested for both the board and the GAC
I can't hear you.
Just someone speaking in the background.
Okay.
Carry
on, Jeff.
Okay. Three items that I had on there. One was a discussion on the Who Is review team final report. Basically, not necessarily on the substance of the discussions, but more on the whole notion of the bottom-up consensus policy process. And there were some statements made by the board, statements made by Rod, in letters to the Department of Commerce, statements from the Department of Commerce and others, basically implying that all of the Who Is review team recommendations would go to the board to be voted on and actions taken in the June meeting. But to me and to the registries and some others, there are elements in there that are actually policy development, and we want to just basically discuss the point that, the review team's great and all, and they did some great work, but it's not a substitute for bottom-up policy development. That was one item. The second item was talking about the IOC Red Cross. Obviously, that issue is going to be extremely important with the GAC, and I think as well an update for the board. And the final issue, I don't know why I'm blanking on it right now.
RAA, wasn't it?
Oh, yes, an update on the RAA.
Yeah, okay, remember, yes. Okay.
I'd like to see those. I think those are extremely important, and I thank Wolf again for the the preparation of this agenda, and I think it does leave in enough time on these subjects to be adequately prepared for those meetings, and also to make sure that anything we discuss as a council with these with these organizations, the board and the GAC, are actually brought up in the pre-meeting so that we know or have a good understanding of what's going to be said and not be surprised by statements made by certain counselors that weren't previously discussed.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff. Well speaking. So sorry that I didn't catch that from the last meeting, but it's now clear. So I will immediately refer to GAC and board with those items and ask for their comments and their input as well from what is interesting to them toward the GNSO, and then we will come, I think, to a conclusion to that. So, and we'll keep you updated with regards to that. Thanks.
Okay, and reading from the chat, it seems like Stefan has been disconnected and is asking for Glenn to hopefully dial him back. Glenn, are you able to do that?
He's being dialed out, too.
Sorry, say that again?
He is being dialed out, too.
Okay. So, Wolf, did you have anything else? You talked about the board and the GAC. Were any topics mentioned for the CCNSO meeting?
For the CCNSO meeting? Well, I'm in contact with the CCNSO, but not yet. We have not yet fixed any points about that. So if there is a point of interest here from our group, from the GNSO, so please let me know. So which items could be discussed with the CCNSO?
Yeah, I turn it back to Stefan. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff and Wolf. Got disconnected. Didn't hear the rest of the discussion, but it sounds like we have exhausted this topic, have we not? I think we have, so we'll move on to item 7, Red Cross and Olympic Committee. And as you know, we have a drafting team working on a charter to see how we can do what we've been asked to do by the board, which is to protect the Red Cross and Olympic Committee names under the new GTLD program. The group felt that it wanted to update the council on its work so far, so I will hand it over to Jeff to do just that.
Stefano, this is Wolfgang. I just want to say that I'm now online. I was a little bit late because I left the hospital only today, and I'm sorry that I'm late, but I hope item 7 is the right moment to jump in. Jeff, go ahead. Thank you, and sorry for being late.
Thanks, Wolfgang, for letting us know, and sorry to hear that you're in hospital, but hope you're okay, and we'll carry on then with Jeff.
Okay, thank you, Stefan. First I want to just remind everyone what we did is we formed this drafting team to basically provide advice to the GNSO in its interactions with the GAC on this very issue. If you all recall, the GAC had submitted a proposal back after the Singapore meeting last year on how to handle International Olympic Committee names and Red Cross, Red Crescent names that weren't addressed in the board resolution from Singapore. And they had recommendations related both to protections at the top level as well as protections at the second level. I've had a number of productive calls, I believe, on this subject, and you know, it started out a little slowly, as most drafting teams and working groups do. But I think once we decided to separate the top-level recommendations from the second-level recommendations, I think we started to really make some progress, at least at the top level. The rationale for addressing the top level first should be pretty obvious, but you know, we're in the middle of the application period, and if there's going to be any effect given or any proposal made on the top level, those need to be in and approved and to the board immediately or as soon as possible so that they can do something by the close of before the close of the application period for any of entities that are affected. So the timeline forward, and then I'll go through some of the substance, the timeline forward is that we hope to have and finish up discussions with top-level protections at the Costa Rica meeting and also have a motion by the GNSO to approve the recommendation of the drafting team so that we can send it to the board by the time the Costa Rica meeting ends. And I completely understand that that is extremely aggressive. It's probably faster than the council has moved on most things before, but I see no other way. You know, if we wait until after that meeting, then the time period for the application period will be closed. So I know we have a practice of deferring a lot of motions, you know, definitely for good reason, but I wanted to provide an update on the substance as where we are so that it would enable us to act at the Costa Rica meeting. We intend to have a call with representatives of the GAC before the Costa Rica meeting. This is not an official GAC-GNSO meeting, but counselors will be invited to attend along with anyone interested from the GAC on this issue. Any opinions expressed by GAC members on this issue will not be taken as official GAC positions or even official positions from their governments. The goal is really to give them an update so that they are better prepared, and we're all better prepared for the discussions in Costa Rica so that we can reach a final resolution, at least with respect to the top level. With regard to the sub-top level, again, the GAC had submitted their proposal along with a question and answer document, which was extremely helpful in assuring people that you know, this only relates to the Olympic Committee and to the Red Cross names, that it was not intended to cover any other organizations, that these were really unique in respect that there are multiple treaties and statutes around the world protecting Olympic and Red Cross marks, that they were different than other types of famous or even other internationally protected marks, by treaty, like some of the I'm forgetting the terms now, but basically some of the pharmaceuticals and other marks that have some sort of protection, and letters that have been received in recent weeks by ICANN. This really only refers to the Olympic and Red Cross marks. And the proposal we have right now that we're trying to better shape and finalize is an option where we would recommend protections at the top level for Olympic and Red Cross marks. It's as sort of a modified reserve names list. Right now, if you look at the guidebook, essentially the protections are only for the exact matches of the few marks that are listed in the guidebook. There is no string similarity review that's done. So if the mark that's protected is Olympic that ends with a C, but someone applies for Olympics with a CKS or an X at the end, there's no string similarity review done, so those would still go through. And so, you know, we've obviously discussed that at length with the group. And, you know, we're leaning towards a proposal to apply a string similarity review, but if something is found to have string similarity in the way that the guidebook defines how that process works, there'd be some opportunity for the applicant to demonstrate that it has rights or legitimate interests in that string that it's applying for. And so we're just working on finalizing some mechanics around that and plan on presenting that status update to the GAC. I think I forgot to mention, hopefully that call will be set up in the next couple weeks, either the last week of February or the first week of March before the Costa Rica meeting. So I think we're making some really good progress on that. There's certainly been some good discussions on the list, and you know, I'm excited that I think we can hopefully come to a consensus on this, and that strikes the appropriate balance, and that we'll be discussing further in Costa Rica. That's the up. Yep. Sorry. Take any questions. I said I would be happy to take any questions.
So, any questions? It appears not, Jeff. I think you are very clear.
Well, can I ask, not because I want to lengthen this meeting, but can I ask a question? Does the timeline I've laid out sound like it's something that we can do? Is there anything else I can do to make sure that the council and all the constituencies and groups have enough time to consider everything? I really think it's essential that we finalize this in Costa Rica. So I'm just looking for input as to ways to make it easier for councilors to be able to.
Okay. Thanks very much, Jeff, for doing that. So let's move on to the last item on our standard agenda, which is the liaison to the CCNSO, which is something that I have to apologize for dropping the ball on after Olga Cavalli had left the council at the end of the AGM in the car. I kind of missed the fact that we needed a new CCNSO liaison until Glenn kindly reminded me of the fact. So this, I wanted this on the agenda for this meeting.
we should either appoint someone or someone needs to volunteer. Let's open this up for discussion straight away and see, first of all, if anyone would like to volunteer for the position or ask any questions. Rafik.
Yes, Stefan. Even I understand that for discussion, but I would like to volunteer if it's possible, and if I have the endorsement from the... Yeah, thanks.
Sorry, I cut you off there. No? Okay, thank you, Rafik. Rafik has volunteered. Yoav.
Yeah, I would be also happy to volunteer for this. I don't mind, you know, we don't need the, it's not a big issue. I just wanted to get a little more information. What exactly is the liaison supposed to do? So I understand it's connecting with the CCNSO, but practically, what is done?
The liaison keeps us informed of what's happening on the CCNSO Council and in the CCNSO world community. So things like new CCNSO members, any specific decisions that might impact us for joint working groups, for example, like the JIG, the liaison might inform us of situations like the letter situation that has arisen, for example. So things like that.
Okay.
So you're volunteering too. So we now have two volunteers and no clear plan towards resolving that situation. I'm certainly not going to choose. Anyone have any suggestions on what we do here? Do we put them in a room and see who comes out first? Or alive, or whatever?
I'm okay to withdraw if Figure wants it. It's okay.
Say again?
I'm okay. If Rafik really wants this, no problem. I will withdraw. It's not a big issue.
Okay. Very gracious of you. Solves the problem. Is there any opposition to Rafik being CCNSO liaison? Hearing none, Rafik, thanks for volunteering. You've got the job.
Thank you, Stefan, and thanks to you all. Thanks.
Okay.
So we do not have any other business on the agenda. Is there anyone that would like to... bring anything else to the council's attention under this agenda item? In which case, I am happy to say that we finished early, and I would like to thank you all for your participation and speak to you all, well, see you all next time in Costa Rica. Have a safe trip, everyone, and we'll see you there. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Stefan. Bye-bye. Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.